In today's poetry break, I want to share with you some of the poetry of my predecessor as poet laureate of West Virginia, Irene McKinney.
Irene was a remarkable woman, greatly admired as a poet and teacher. But mostly she was Irene, Irene who loved words, especially poetry. She was the kind of poet who could accomplish in a few seconds that deep trust with her readers that compel them to follow her words. First, this short poem titled Personal. I've always liked this poem of Irene's. It has a quirky, off-balance way of seeing with clarity, if that makes any sense. Personal. None of this is personal. Not the way you'd think. The moon keeps on traveling, and I can see it from my balcony each night. And each night different, but it's not my own. Not like we want things to be our very own. But it sways me, nevertheless, and stands in for certain losses and gains. And for even that much, I'm grateful. I stand at the back door and stare. As many listeners will know, Irene battled cancer for many years later in her life. And she was the kind of poet who was not afraid to face up to that struggle, even in the poetry itself. This poem is titled, Ready. I remember a Sunday with the smell of food drifting out the door of the cavernous kitchen, and my serious teenage sister and her girlfriends, Jean and Mary Bell, standing on the bank above the dirt road in their white sandals, ready to walk to the country church a mile away, and ready to return to the fried chicken, green beans and ham, and fresh bread spread on the table. The sun was bright, and their clean cotton dresses swirled as they turned. I was a witness to it, and I assure you that it's true. I remembered this 30 years later as I got up from the hospital bed, favoring my right side where something else had been removed. Pushing a cart that held practically all of my vital fluids, I made my way down the hall because I wanted to stand up for no reason. I had no future plans, and I would never found a movement nor understand the simplest equation. I would never chair the department of importance. Nevertheless, I was about to embark on a third life, having used up the first two, as I would this one. But I shoved the IV with its sugars and tubes steadily ahead of me, passing a frail man in a hospital gown, pushing his cart from the other direction. Because I was determined to pull this together, hooking this lifeline into the next one. And now, as a special treat, we have a recording of Irene reading one of my favorite of her poems, titled At 24. It's a poem I like to use a lot myself as I travel throughout the region, sharing poetry with students in high schools and middle schools. This particular poem, I like to think, presents a challenge to the students, reminds them that it isn't easy getting through this life, but their dreams can see them through, just as Irene's did. She was a fighter, and this poem is a real testimony to the fight and grit that will get you where you want to go. So, Irene, reading At 24.
At 24, I had written and read until my eyes were bloodshot, spending nights and early mornings in a fervor of page filling while the baby slept. I was writing to save my life as I knew it could be. I was writing to inscribe my body on a stone tablet, writing in defiance and silence. Nothing could stop me. I kept saying no to the paper. I kept saying, you can't have me, to the junior lig, to the tiny streets, to impossible jobs and prissy motherhood. I was certain there was another way that didn't involve slavery, another way to love and work than the simian forms evolved so far. One morning, I drank 8 cups of coffee and wrote 4 poems, and I didn't even care that my head was bursting and I was lurching around while I scrubbed the bathroom. Another time I left the children with my mother and lay in bed all day reading a biography of Van Gogh and groaning. What a life, what a life. I thought about Toulouse-Lautrec, that little freak. I was a freak myself, but only in private. I stared at his bronzes and terracottas and oranges until they pulled the color nerves out of my chest. That was a long time ago, and now I know that I knew nothing then, and if I had, I wouldn't have gone on. Dear Mr. President, I said, dear Dean, dear husband, dear our father, dear tax collector, you don't know me. I don't know what I am, but whatever it is, you can't have me.
I count myself lucky to remember Irene with such fond clarity, and to know that, quote, now she'll go on like this without any help from us, end quote. The poems I read today come from Irene McKinney's volume, Vivid Companion, published by the Vandalia Press of West Virginia University. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm Mark Harshman, wishing you good words in the air and on the page.